Welcome to another message by Pastor Phil Pringle, leader of C3 Church. We are praying that this message will bless you and help you live your best life. For more information about Pastor Phil and C3, please visit myc3church.net.
The message here today is a long title for it, so I want you to say this after me. When God calls you what you're not, and credits you for what you have not done. Okay, I know that sounds maybe a little unusual to you at this stage, but I'm going to explain it to you. So I want you to say it one more time. When God calls you what you're not, and credits you for what you have not done. Okay, the opening scripture here is Romans 4:17. God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, as though they did. They don't, but it calls them as though they did. So God has this way about him that's very different to our ways, because our way is to call what is as existing, but he calls what is not as though it did exist. So that's a very different way to our way. And the things he says about us are good things, even though they don't exist. The devil's the opposite. He makes you feel guilty when you're not, and God makes you not feel guilty when you are. Very different. He justifies the ungodly. And this is a scary, radical teaching for some people because they want to hang on to the law. Because at least it feels like, you know, I got this law that is going to condemn me and I feel guilty, and at least that's a religious feeling for me. But Jesus didn't come to make you feel guilty. He came to set you free from all of that and to step out of legalism into freedom, out of bondage into liberty. Can be a major step of faith for some. And I want you to actually grab a hold of that step here today and make the journey with Christ into moving into this way of thinking that he outlines in the scriptures in the New Testament. And for a lot of people, you can read the scriptures and never quite see this. So I'm going to start in the context of this passage, which is Romans 4:17. A couple of verses later, what he's really talking about is Abraham. And he called Abraham the father of many nations. He said, I've made you a father of many nations. Abraham didn't have a child. So he could have said, well, actually, no, you haven't, Lord. No, God says, no, I have. I've already made you a father of many nations. Well, God, no, there's no children. What are you saying you've made me? It hasn't happened. I don't have a child. God says, no, I've made you the father of many. He calls those things which are not as though they were. And he might say things about you that you could say, well, that really isn't how it is, but it is. Because he has spoken it and it's the way he sees it. It's his perspective. And so he says in that Isaiah 55 passage, verse 8, my ways are higher than your ways. He says, as the heavens are higher than the earth. This is really high thinking. And he wants you to get into a heavenly thinking, into a heavenly mindedness, if you like. It's a new way of living. It's a new way of thinking. It's a renewal of your thought processes. Okay, so here's the scripture. That's the context of the principle, the story. Romans 4:20, he did not, Abraham, did not waver, stagger, or stumble. Are other translations of that word. Waver, stagger, or stumble at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. You all read that, right? It's not true. It's just not true. I'm sorry. You go, Pastor, you can't say the Bible's not true. That's not true. It's not true. I'm sorry. He did waver. Abraham stumbled and staggered several times. And God says he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and fully convinced. He wasn't fully convinced. How can you say that, Lord? You said, leave your household, leave Ur of the Chaldees, get out of Chaldea, go on, leave home. He said, okay, and he obeyed God. But he didn't leave all his family like he was told. He took along a guy called Lot, his nephew. And Lot became a huge problem to him. The Ammonites and the Moabites, perpetual enemies of Israel, came out of his incest. Unbelievable problems came out of that. It was like an obedience, but it had a little add-on to it. He says, go into that land and stay in the land. So he stayed there until a drought came, and then he went down to Egypt. Got a hold of an Egyptian handmaid down there called Hagar. When you backslide, you will pick up problems, and brought her back with him. And then he's going like, oh, I'm not sure if God's going to actually do it. You know, shall we try it? Like, well, Sarah actually offered the handmaid, said, maybe it's going to happen through her. Have the child. Big stumbles, big staggers. And yet God is saying, Paul is saying, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Unbelievable how God sees you. You say, I'm staggering and I'm stumbling. He says, no, you're not. You're strong in faith. You're incredible. You're powerful. You go, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. Don't argue with God. He knows you better than you. He put his image in you. He can say you're strong because he's strong. Do you think God is staggering and stumbling around in heaven? Oh, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Don't know if the earth's going to make it. He knows who he is. He's going to make it. He's going to bring victory to this earth, and he knows you will too. He can see through your staggerings. He can see through your stumblings. He can see that powerful you on the inside. You're no staggerer. You're no stumbler. You're like Abraham. The Bible's very generous with these people. It's generous with Sarah as well. Hebrews 11:11, a different writer, maybe. We don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. Coffee maker, Hebrews. But, Hebrews 11:11, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age because she judged him faithful who promised. Not true. Sorry. She laughed when God said, you're going to have a baby. She said, he says, you judge me faithful. Amen. You didn't judge me unfaithful. I'm believing in you. When we make a stumble, he makes a statement. When we just make it, he justifies us. He speaks life into you when you are dead. He says, you're alive even when you're dead. God sees a better you than you do. He wants to arouse the better self in every one of us. The Bible goes on. Okay, let's go to Hebrews 11:32. What more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel, and the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. What's this list again? Gideon, one of the heroes of faith, in the same list as Daniel, as David, and Samuel? We got Gideon. Have you read the story in Judges 6? It is pathetic. He doubts everything that God says to him. Oh, I don't believe it's you. No, I couldn't do that. Just prove it to me. Make the fleece wet and the ground dry. Make the ground wet and the fleece dry. No, I'm not sure if it worked. I want it the other way around now. It's like, God, I'm nervous. And God just went for it with that boy. Said, you mighty man of valor. I'm no mighty man of valor. I'm a wimp in the most pathetic family in Israel. No, you're a mighty man of valor. God comes into your world and says in 2:15, you are a mighty man, a mighty woman. You're going to accomplish way more than you think you could ever do. God has faith in you. He believes in you. Who's the next guy? Barak? Go to war, Barak. Oh, no, I'm not going to war. Deborah, a prophetess, comes along and says, you're going to war. Get on your way to war. He says, I'm not going unless you come. Put your big boy pants on, Barak. Off he went to war finally because a strong lady went with him. Thank God for the strong ladies. And all the strong ladies said, come on, girls. Amen. I said, all the strong ladies said. Who's the other guy? Samson. who through faith subdued. What do we remember Samson for? His great faith? Oh, I don't think so. His great failure. We don't remember him for him, how he delighted in the Lord. We remember for him how he delighted in Delilah. It's just like, Samson, what are you doing there, Samson? God put him there. You'd be amazed how gracious and generous Jesus Christ is. How long-suffering, wide open his arms are. And he didn't tell us this so that we can go away and live a life that resembles hell for the rest of our lives and think that God's going to be okay with that. He lives a life like this so he will bring out of us the best, the holy, the godly, the great, the noble person that's there on the inside of you. Instead of the devil constantly trying to bring out the worst that's in you. And telling you that you are somebody you're not. That you're worse than you are. Jesus comes into your world and says, you're way better than you think you are. Paul used this language when he was talking to a lot of his own people. When he's writing a letter to Philemon, a friend of his, he says, having confidence in your obedience, I write to you. How do you know he would be obedient? There's no mobile phones, no texts, no fax machines, no emails. I've got confidence in your ability. I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. I know you'll do more than I'm talking about. What a way to talk to people. Beautiful. Most people go, oh yeah, you probably won't do much at all. I'll probably just try and get away with whatever they can. He says, you'll do more than I even gonna ask. I know you. You're amazing. And then he says, but meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers, he assumes he's praying for it. If I said to you, I know through your prayers for me that I'm going to be blessed this year. I know you're all praying for us. But you know, all of a sudden you think, ooh, I better start praying. Amen. So he's saying to Philemon, I know through your prayers, I'm going to be set free from this prison. So get a room ready for me. Do an act of faith. Get a room ready for me at your house. I'm coming out of this prison because of your prayers of faith. He believed him. He believed that all sorts of incredible things were going to be happening. Okay, the second part of this is he credits you for things you have not done. In John 21 verse 10, Jesus said to the disciples, bring some of the fish which you have now caught. Okay? So these disciples are fishing. Jesus has risen from the dead. They're fishing, fishing, fishing all night. Fishing, fishing. Hey guys, have you got any fish? No. Have you caught any? No. Why don't you put the net over the other side of the boat? It's like a 6-foot difference, right? If there are fish here, they're going to be fish here. They put the net over the other side of the boat. Boom, it's full. All those fish created. Then Jesus says, hey guys, bring of the fish which you have caught. How amazing is that? They didn't catch a thing. They were told where to put the net. The fish were made there by Jesus. He did it all. And God is doing things in your life and doing things in our lives that he will say, you've done such a good job. When it was all him doing it anyway. He says to the woman who reaches through the crowd, touches him. He says, your faith has made you whole. It was the power of God that touched her that made her whole. But he says to her, your faith has made you whole. And if you can get yourself into an environment where you believe in the goodness and the love and the graciousness of God coming towards you and pouring out this abundance all over your life and calling those things which are not in your world as though they were and starting to say, you know what? It's not just my circumstances that need to be blessed this coming year, but I need a transformation in the way I see myself. In the book of Colossians, it says that he sees you as blameless, above reproach, without shame. He sees you as holy in his sight. From his perspective, God's view of you is that you today are a holy, beyond reproach person. And then when Jesus comes into the world and he starts to look at sick people, he says, rise and walk. Now they could say, well, I can't walk. But he says, yes, you can. You think you can't, but you can. You think you're not very good as a parent, but you're absolutely brilliant. You might feel like you've failed in your marriage, but you're brilliant as a husband, as a wife. You might feel like in work, in your business, you've had too many failures to prove that you're a failed business person. You're a brilliant business person. You're filled with the wisdom of God in your mind. You got to start believing something about yourself. And the thing about faith is that you need faith when you got a problem, not when you haven't got a problem. You need faith when everything's feeding into you that things are going wrong, that you can't do it. But you need to understand that here today, you were born to be a success in this life. God did not give birth to you and say, now let's make him a complete failure. Let's kick him around and give him a bad life. God brought you into this world for a beautiful, wonderful, magnificent life. And if you can start to believe it and reach out for it right here, God's gonna touch you. He also came into this world to heal the sick and to undo the chains of demonic oppression. And that's gonna happen here in the next 10 minutes. People are gonna get set free. So I want us all to stand and just to start reaching out to God as the band comes. And you know, the Spirit of God, which is in this place, will bring his hand upon your life if you'll reach out and say, God, I believe that those things which are not are, the things that have not taken place in my life are going to take place in my life.
C3 Church is a vibrant, contemporary community of people who want to know Jesus more and be equipped to live their best life. We have over 300 churches around the world waiting to welcome you. So find your nearest C3 at c3churchglobal.com.
Possibly one of the most important messages that I feel God has given me in today's Christian world.
The Parable of the Dog is a new offering from Pastor Phil Pringle, a small book that packs a big punch.
Transformation is when I realize that this flesh body I've got is in league with the devil to destroy my soul.
The Parable of the Dog addresses a critical issue in today's church.
I got to get the lordship of Christ over this body. I got to pick up the cross. He doesn't put it on me. I've got to embrace the thing that kills me.
Grab your copy today at philpringle.com. Thanks for listening. We are always encouraged to hear the stories of great decisions that you have made and the great things that God is doing in your life. So if you have a story to share or if you have a prayer request, please email us at podcast@myc3church.net.